Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin.
What's up?
Wow!
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 What?
Oh, man!
What?
Woo! Wow. Yeah, I mean, I was much like Lauren, I was taking some notes, and I'm thinking to myself, Kim, like, what do you want from this guy? He just, like, does everything for you. And then she's like, I'm out. Or we get married? What?
Yeah. Wild.
Like, where did that come from, bro? Oh, man. I'm blown away. I don't know what to say.
Or we get married. That was just crazy. That was just crazy.
Yeah.
I think some people were having trouble hearing me earlier, but I think it's good now. Sorry about that. Again, Ryan Nilsson just moderating the show. Super crazy ending. And we just had a lot of wild stuff with Kim and Saul this episode. After all, it was called Wexler v. Goodman, like a court case. And
yeah.
Wow, did we get maybe the best court scene from Saul in this entire show? We got to start with that opening. So Kim and Saul, they seem to have a plan. They seem to have an understanding. And Saul breaks back with the film crew. And they're doing commercials.
Man.
Guys, what'd you think about the entire shoot? Let's start with Lauren.
Well, what's funny is I remember going to junior college and taking my very first TV production class. And it was just like that. There were people in the class just like that, and we scraped together whatever equipment we could do, but we never had the quality of a Jimmy or a Saul directing us. So to me, that brought back some memories of college, and I loved it. I didn't know where he was going with the commercial. That was the thing, was he was creating this commercial, but what was he going to do with it? And of course it makes sense after the fact. I feel like the biggest idiot because I'm not catching these things and going, I know what's happening here.
Right.
But I would say, Lauren, to that, like, you're a fan going for the ride because I'm with you. I was trying to figure it out, but sometimes it's like, I'm just going to go for the ride because they're going to tell us what's going on.
True,
and they told us.
Don't be so hard on yourself. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Okay, all right.
It was so wild, Sean. I mean, bringing back the film crew has been in all these other seasons for one last shoot, and I don't even know what he was planning originally from what he did because he wanted multiple locations.
Right?
What'd you think?
Well, I thought it was so much better in the green screen because it just made it that much worse, right? Like, or cheesier. But of course, we get another great montage from this show. And then, but my favorite moment of the montage was, well, that looks natural. Yeah, that looks great. Yeah. Like, I was like, wow. Saul is so good. Like, I mean, he just makes anything work. And I love that, like, we put the girl from the film crew in it, too, doing the scratch thing. Like,
oh, my God.
So good.
Scratch thing. I honestly didn't know where it was going. And the glasses with the hair just sticking up. It was – and just the words. He wouldn't even say action. He'd go magic or
– Yeah, magic or
acting.
Actor or something. Acting.
Perform. Yeah. Gosh, that was so funny. Yeah, one of the more funny montages. And Kim visits him and is like, you know what? Let's just call it off, which I actually thought that surprised me. But that makes sense because I think Kim is she's incredibly clever, and I can think she could tell she was playing a little too close to the fire, especially after, you know, like one of her coworkers was just so close to seeing that there was some kind of suspicion there. And when she even threw out the number 75,000, I was like, whoa, I mean, that's it's a pretty good deal.
Almost double what they were offering, yeah.
Yeah, almost double. And then we get to the courtroom. And the episode's called Wexler v. Goodman. And after they had that conversation outside the film shoot, I thought, oh, wait, I guess this isn't going to be...
Oh, yeah, it's done.
A tete-a-tete. Yeah, it's done.
Yeah.
But we knew something was going to happen. And we get the craziest entrance. Just from the first second he walks in, the tension between him and the head of Mesa Verde was just so... Oh, my God. I think he shakes everyone's hand.
Right. Now, just to real quick, to get uber nerdy, because I know if I don't say something, somebody on our YouTube will say it. So they weren't at court, actually. They were just at Schweikert and Coakley's offices for this meeting.
It turned into a bit of a courtroom at one point.
Oh yes. Got it. Okay.
But you're right. It was just a meeting.
Then sustain whatever you said.
No. You were right to object because it wasn't a courtroom. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, okay.
It just felt like it was. It was more of like a boxing match at one point.
I think 20 people just deleted a comment. So thank you, Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren.
I got to say that I was looking forward to like an hour of just this courtroom scene. Mm. I remember as a kid watching this show on NBC called L.A. Law. Huge show, and they would have these incredibly intricate courtroom scenes with the swagger, and I was looking for Jimmy to have a swagger, but we didn't need that. This is why I'm not writing the show, because this is what needed to happen. We're in the offices, Kim's telling her client, don't do this. He's got his bravado, he's like, I'm doing this, and then he goes out and he repeats the phone number and calls Jimmy, and it's a handshake.
Oh my gosh, it absolutely amazing. And this is coming fresh off of this that scene. We'll get more into that scene in a bit, but this is coming fresh off of Jimmy doing one of the most also badass Saw moves I think we've ever seen in all of Breaking Bad and in all of Better Call Saul, which is he gets to, I guess you call them like hookers off bail, and he sends them to Howard's lunch meeting.
I love what their first offer is. Can we take care of you, Jimmy? And we'll give you we'll clean you up with a warm towel.
Yeah.
He's like, rain check. But
rain check. But then
what was his line, or what were the girls' lines? Like, you paid for a tugboat, but you got a cruise or something
that? Yeah. I wrote it down. Hang on. Wait. You don't get a Carnival cruise and only pay for a tugboat, Howie.
Thank you. That was the best line.
Yeah.
How embarrassing. Also, the beginning of the lunch, you're just already like pissed at Howard because of the words. Like, they're just like, oh, yeah, did you hear? They're talking trash about like another lawyer. And then that happens. And they're like, do you want me to leave? He's like, no. I don't know these people. Honestly, one of the funnier scenes in the show, from what I can remember, and just almost worse than the bowling balls, I think.
Oh, definitely.
I think worse.
I'm wondering what his ultimate end game is. Like, there's revenge, but I don't really necessarily think Jimmy's out to get, like, an evil revenge. It's something else, and I'm wondering what that might be, his form of revenge is.
Do you think this is the dark... I mean, this is... It's funny, but I think this is a bit of the dark side of what he's really capable of. Like, he's capable of some pretty terrible things in terms of, like, embarrassment. And I just think he's full-blown Saw. Like, this is...
Yeah.
I think this episode we were reaching levels that I don't even think we saw in Breaking Bad. He is...
Yeah, well, I mean, remember, this is the same guy that made his brother, you know, took his brother out. You know, a couple seasons ago, and made him go into this breakdown. I mean, essentially, you could argue that Jimmy leads to, you know, his brother is
Chuck
leads to Chuck, you know, ending his life. I mean, you know, you could make that argument. So, I think this is really who Jimmy is. Unfortunately, well, fortunately for us as a viewer,
but it's
for Kim and the rest of New Mexico, maybe not so much.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, and right off of that, I even like when he had binoculars on and he was voicing what he thought the dialogue. He was making dialogue.
Yeah.
So
I did want to share on our YouTube chat right now. Jason Sadowski thought that Saul is like an addict chasing the next big high. His antics with Howard are comical, but what he did to Kim is unforgivable. Mm. Yet she's codependent and addicted to Jimmy's destructive nature, which does kind of make me understand, oh, if she's like, we either have to break up or get married. I'm like, I could, if this show is about drugs and addiction, that are definitely some addictive traits.
Well, I mean, speaking of the drugs and addiction, I that's an awesome comment. I think you're right. Like it doesn't have to be as high. The stakes are somewhat equal, even though they don't seem as high when with actual drugs and addiction. Like this is real stuff. But speaking of drugs and addiction, we also had the Mike Gus Nacho storyline, and what a great picking up right where we left off. Mike is now full on with Gus, and they have that really tense meeting in some abandoned warehouse. What did we think of this interaction, Sean?
Well, first of all, can we talk about the cinematography of that scene?
Epic.
Oh, man, I mean, like, Nacho looked like he was like about to have like a music video happening. You know, like it was so, like, that location was amazing. And then and then his car, it's a badass car too. So, I mean, that was my first thought. I was like, wow, these guys they just shoot this thing so well. But then of course we get this reunion of Mike and Nacho. And I was like, yeah, I mean, it was kind of like Hank and Gomi back together again, you know, like the gang's back together, you know?
Well, I kind of forgot they had they confided as much as they did with each other, because immediately after Gus leaves, we see Nacho get as vulnerable as we've really ever seen him in the show, just full on spilling the amount of pressure he has on him. I mean, Lauren, what did you think about that?
You're absolutely right. And, you know, it's hard to remember Breaking Bad, how that season progressed and how they knew each other, but definitely, just like Hank, meeting up, you know, getting to see kind of this reunion that we knew was going to take place. I just, you know, Michael is so cool under pressure, and his line, I'm looking at my notes. Gus's line to Nacho about Michael, if he needs you, do not hesitate, act.
Mm.
That was an amazing line. But then Michael tells Nacho, first we take care of Lalo and then we'll talk.
Right.
So I was a little confused, because doesn't taking care of Lalo solve Nacho's issue with his with the gun being held to his father's head?
I don't think
that ever goes away as far as Gus is concerned. But just going off what you were saying, Ryan, a little bit earlier, of Nacho's vulnerability, I mean, in a way, Mike is a father figure, I think, to Nacho, because he had been advising him the whole time, like, don't go down this road against, you know, Hector. And he's like, here we are. But I am a human being. Unlike Gus, I am a human being. And, you know, we'll get to that after we take care of the immediate business. So I think he gives us a little bit of hope for Nacho's dad.
You know, I think it's a good point. Yeah, there is just so much tension because of his dad. I'm interested to see where that goes. I really do think Mike is all in on just taking care of Lalo, and we got that incredible library scene. How off-putting was it to see Mike Airman Trout in a library? Lauren, I mean, what did you think of his tactics and plan there?
That entire scene, a series of him at the police station later on, him at the library, he's, what did he say his name was? Dave Clark, PI. And some people on Twitter were like the Dave Clark Five, like the old, you know, music group. But just the way that Mike plays the long game. He's never in a rush to get what he wants. And what's fantastic about seeing him is get to seeing all these little pieces that we know are going to end up somewhere.
Mm. That's a good point. I think what's so great is you could tell he had such a plan of, I'm going to introduce, I'm going to give nuggets of information and then just reveal more. Ultimately, he just had to go in there and get her to agree to calling the PIs and saying it was this car.
Right.
Which, so cool. And the photo, he also, just the slight intimidation, like, it wasn't even a fearful intimidation. It was just like, hey, like, you're going to need to help this family if you don't do this. Like, you're not going
right.
to, you're letting this family down. And then we get to this awesome scene where Lalo gets arrested. Like,
right. Well, I mean, just to quickly on the touch on, I love charming Mike, because he's usually just, you know, grumpy old man, you know, who might kill you. But I also love that, like, if he says something, you're going to do it, because I know I would. If Mike told me to take this somewhere, yes, sir, I'm going, because you're scary and weird. And I don't know. But when he turns on the charm, it's just, it's such a testament to the actor that he can, you know, he can do all these different things and these different layers. But you're right, Lauren. This was the way he laid it out first. Then we kind of slowly get what he's doing. It's just such good writing, good storytelling.
Yeah.
But finally, my boy is back. Finally, we get Lalo, even for a brief second. Like a shot from underneath.
I know.
We even get a full shot on it. We got underneath from the keys.
Yeah.
And then the gun, of course. So thank God we got him back. It's funny because I was like, man, he's going to take these cops out.
I know.
First.
I think he would have if it was the one car. I honestly think he would have, which is terrifying. He was fully committed to doing it with the one car. But when he saw two others, he was like, all right, better back off. It's interesting with Mike real quick. Cody Briner in the chat, by the way, guys, live every Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Please give us a rating on iTunes. If you shout us out on iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. We will read it on air. So please do that. That would mean a lot to us. Thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. Cody Briner challenging the idea. He thinks, can we talk about how easy is it that Mike can just get into the police station, fake records, and then get a radio and call in a fake car report? I mean, the dude's an ex-cop. So I'm able to believe that. What do you guys
think?
Yeah,
and also, I would say, like, you know, having, like, worked in, it's not the same, but, like, when you work in, like, hotels, like, people can just move around. Like, there's so much going on that if you look the part, no one's questioning it. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, especially like Mike. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Mike's been there before. He knows how these things work. I buy it all 100%. Like, that was not even an issue for me. But I don't know. Lauren, what do you think?
I totally agree. You know, there's a saying, not just in the world of acting, but I think in anywhere, it looked like you belong.
Mm.
that's your motivation.
Fake it till you make it.
Of the night. Well, yeah, fake it till you make it, but look like you belong, like you're supposed to be there. I mean, so that's what Mike was doing. Of course, we could dream of a spinoff show where we get to see the point of Mike casually walking into the police station saying, how you guys doing? You know, I'm going to grab some coffee, you know, just doing the shit. That's the part we don't get to see. That would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a natural.
So another interesting question from the chat is from John Doe. Do we think now with Lalo seemingly headed to prison or to, I guess, to jail, do you think that that will resume the construction of that super lab? I'm thinking yes. I think because Lalo, that was the reason they needed to get rid of Lalo, but not get rid of him. I think this was actually like the perfect, Mike had the perfect solution here. It was a nonviolent getting rid of Lalo. But here's my, yeah, okay, here we go.
Now remember.
Here we go.
Lalo has on retainer.
Yeah.
So,
Saul Goodman
going to jail.
Dude, you're so right.
Saul is on the case whether he wants to be or not, and you know he doesn't. But this is part of the deal. You sign with the devil. It's time to come and bail him out.
Holy cow. You know who's getting to represent him. Oh, that means we're probably getting a Saul Goodman in the courtroom with Lala. Oh, my God.
Definitely.
I'm into that. But, guys, I mean, let's get to the meat, the big part of this episode, which was, I mean, we teased it up top. We were talking a little bit about the pregame, but Wexler v. Goodman. The moment Saw sits down, and reveals $4 million is the asking price. I was like, oh, here we go.
Oh.
What were your thoughts, John?
Well, as soon as he said $4 million, I was like, uh-oh, this is not what Kim was. But it's funny, too, though, but there's always that thing with them. It's like, okay, did they talk about this and we didn't see it yet?
Right.
You know, but the way she was reacting, I was like, no, I think this is Saul going full Saul, sans Kim. And, you know, I think to his credit, too, what he says later is like, you have plausible deniability that way. And this all goes down much smoother if you don't know. You don't have to worry about acting because you're not. You're reacting.
Yeah.
But, man, like the way it's so great because, you know, when this show began, we had Jimmy who was kind of beaten down. You know, he's a little run. He's just kind of the little kid brother. He's kind of a punk. When he walks into this courtroom with his blazing suit, the swagger that he has in this scene it's so great because, like, you just know he's going to just lay it all out and then, like, drop the mic. And that's exactly what he did. I don't know. What do you think, Lauren?
Full on swagger. Lauren.
You know, every time you could have a soundtrack to Jimmy / Saul, every time he walks into a room with a cut theme, we've seen it happen before in the episodes. This one just, they save the cost on a song. Save the cost on a quick cut, but basically that's what it was. Everybody freaking out. I mean, it could be, you know, simply the best, better than all the rest. So who knows? it's more Jimmy / Saul. But I do, somebody brought up a point in the chat room, which I do want to talk about, is Steve says, what did the opening scene of the young Kim Wexler add to the episode? And you're right, Steve. I think what that adds
is we
get to see Kim having to deal with addiction in her family. And she's seeing this. So now we understand this isn't new or foreign to Kim. She's seen a different type of addiction before in her mom, makes me wonder why exactly she said, let's get married.
Oh, God, that you raised a really great question, Steve Stavamo in the chat. I mean, what an interesting scene to open with we didn't touch on yet. I think I read a lot about that scene. I think that says a lot about just what shaped Kim when she was younger. You know, Kim is my favorite character in the show and favorite performer, Rhea Seehorn. Always have to shout her out. But I really do think that scene says a lot. I think it says that she's familiar with addiction, but it also, I think, means the people that were close to her, like her mom, people that she loves, sometimes aren't the healthiest to be around. And I think that's Saul in her life right now. What do you think, Sean?
Well, so I have a question, and please, viewers, forgive me if this is the first time we've seen Kim as a little girl?
I'm going to go on a limb and say yes.
Because that's what I thought, too. I was trying to rack my brain. I'm like, I don't remember seeing her as a little kid before. Did you also notice what the license plate, what state they were in?
Dude, I did not. What was it?
No.
Nebraska.
Get out of here.
Nebraska! Woo! Yes. Yes. Not Alaska, Ryan. Nebraska. Yes, bro.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. That was a little Easter egg. If you weren't, I was watching on a big TV. That's why I just happened to look down. I said, "Oh, that's Nebraska." Wow. Wow. Are we gonna?
Ryan, do you want to fill everyone in as to why that's such a big deal?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, that's where Saul. That's where Saul Cinnabon is.
Yeah. Right.
That's where Gene is.
That's where Gene is. So he. Yeah. Oh wow. So he chose Nebraska. He chose where Kim's from. Holy cow, guys. Yeah. I cannot believe I missed that on the show. Dang, I got to look at every license plate now. Anyway, but I mean, I think an interesting point that will wrap out this. So back to the conversation at hand in the court, in the room. So he gives $4 million, freaks everyone out. And I felt this scene was synonymous to almost like a poker game. Mm-hmm. And Jimmy was just going all in. He just kept raising the bet, raising the bet. And, you know, you, maybe three cards are on the table and you haven't even seen the end of the river yet. And you're just wondering, like, is this guy bluffing? And he's just putting so much out there. He's so confident. He cannot be bluffing. He's completely serious. I that's the energy I got from it. Did you guys feel the same? What did you feel? Let's start with Lauren.
Sorry, I was thinking about the end of the show. So go to Sean and then come back to me.
Sorry, Sean. I mean, did you feel that it was? You know, first he goes with the dollar amount he's asking for. Then he brings up the video, and you're like, oh, snap. Then he's like, by the way, I have like six commercials. Then he goes, oh, yeah, and your logo's copyrighted. Like, just three things in a row.
Yeah, I mean, and then, like, the fact that he's like, after, like, you know, after, like, about 5 seconds commercial, it's like, we get it. It's like, no, hold up. There's more, you know, like, oh, this is a really good part, you know, like, that whole part. Again, it's that swagger that he has because he knows he's got them, you know, by the cojones. And, you know, and he knows that, like, he's literally laying out the next 5 years in court, right? If you want to go down this path, this is what you're looking at. And, you know, they're saying this is illegal. This is, yeah, that's all might be true, but we're still going to do it. And we're still going to make you kind of call us on it, you know? So it was such a, like I said, he outsold Saul in this scene for me. And yeah, they just dropped the mic. He was out. Like, that was it. Like, I don't need to say anything else. Thanks for
strutted out.
Right. And Kim knows Jimmy/Saul's behavior. So she can kind of say, no, this is what he's going to do. He's not going to give up. So
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. I'm still amazed because they all know at her law firm that they're dating, right?
Mm-hmm. They do. They know that they're in a relationship.
Right. So how they don't look at her, you know, I'm thinking in my mind, why aren't they yelling at her saying, what the F is wrong with this, with your guy? It's kind of like at this point, he's just the other side.
Oh, you see, I actually buy that they're not like that. I was worried that the show was actually going to go down that route. Mm-hmm. But I think they set it up believably that she, and even in court, like the plausible deniability, I think the reason that he came off so strong and she was so visibly taken aback and surprised by it, because she was, that I think that was the whole thing with Jimmy's plan, was he was doing that to ultimately protect her, because if they agreed to some dollar amount, maybe they would be curious of exactly what you're saying.
Okay.
But, yeah, he walks out. They have that meeting in the parking garage, shake hands, which I was trying to add the money that he kind of requesting ultimately in that hypothetical scenario. And I think it rounded out somewhere above like $200,000. So
yeah, it was like $245,000 for the guy that was already getting it. And then he didn't have to leave. And
a public apology.
No, that's right. Yeah.
I mean, the $75,000 was just so thrown out the window.
Yeah. And when we get to news, I have something that ties into Mesa Verde.
Oh, well then let's hurry on closer there. So yeah, episode ends with an amazing back and forth between Kim and Saw. Right. Holy cow. I thought for a second there, I legitimately thought they were going to break up. What did you guys think, Sean?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, she says it like, "You win, Jimmy. No, we won. No, you won. I don't trust you." Yeah. Wow. And that's when I was like, "What do you want, Kim? Like this guy is literally flipped over backwards for you, made it all happen. You got what you wanted. Like, you need to figure out your life, girl, because we're doing everything for you."
Yeah, and. And then you cap it off with, like, maybe this is over and we just like the time we had.
Yeah.
And I thought, I was like, or what? Like, I really did not know what the or what was going to be. And it was, or we get married, Lauren.
I literally thought that this was going to be the moment where Ryan cries on camera. That Kim is gone. we have no more Kim, and you're replaced by a picture of a puppy dog or a kitten who's running the show because you're just too distraught.
Darn. No.
But luckily, we still have Kim, and we still have this crazy thing of let's break up or let's get married. Now, some people have brought up the idea of that means that they can't go up against each other, that they can't. I forgot the legal term. I'm trying to come back in here.
Right. I guess they'd be too legally tied, so they can't. It'd be a conflict of interest.
Right. So I don't know if that's the case, but again, it makes me think about that opening scene where little Kim is the daughter of somebody who's addicted to alcohol. And with addicted personalities, sometimes you feel like you can't leave or get out of these relationships, or you feel pulled into the things that are familiar to you.
Mm.
So I wonder in what way, if this is a possible thing that somehow she's addicted to Jimmy and is pulled back in.
It's a ridiculous... Okay, this is why Rhea Seehorn is the best actress on TV, because that line is kind of ridiculous, but they tee it up with that opening scene, and the way she was so genuine about it, the reason we were all freaking out was because we believed what she said, but it was crazy what she said. I mean... What do you think is going to happen, Sean? Are they going to the former or the latter? What's going on?
Ah, man, I'm definitely at a loss for words after that one, because you know, I mean, get married? I mean, like, is that really going to do that? I mean, was that a sincere thing? I don't know. I mean, I guess it technically legally it takes care of some things, but I don't think she. Is in any kind of mindset to be getting married. I mean, I think Jimmy or Saul jumps at it like, yeah, cuts go right now.
Right. Let's look at this from a different angle. If we're thinking about the way the writers have eloquently crafted these surprise aha moments, if Kim has, what is Kim's end game? Because we're assuming she's saying let's get married because of she's addicted to Jimmy. But what if she's playing him back?
Ooh.
What is her end game to top him, where he's like, what? I mean, could we say that she's got an end game that makes him back out of this deal? Could it be that big of an end game that makes him back off and lets her win the case?
I mean,
wow.
It's interesting because I feel like there's so many directions, and everything with Lalo, it makes me wonder, is Jimmy going to be too caught up with that case? How is he? I don't even know if he's going to have the time of day to continue with that. But for all we know, that everything with Mesa Verde is kind of done. Like he might be just respecting the handshake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Lauren, I love what you're thinking, but I think it goes further than his case. Like, I think, you know, she could be the most Saul of all and, you know, and just like totally flip over on Saul and just, you know, create this whole thing where he thinks he's going to get married. He thinks he's finally got the life he wants. And then she pulls that rug out from under him.
Yeah. I mean, to be able to end the season with Kim basically saying, fuck me. No, fuck you. You know,
yeah.
That would be insane, but I am not going to put it past the writers to have done that. So now I'm kind of excited if that's what's going to happen.
So there's one – this is now like just a deep cut I was actually seeing on Twitter. The cop that the librarian had called, one of the detectives, to search on the car, that was the same actor who played the detective that met with Gus for the Los Pollos Hermanos in Breaking Bad at the end of season 3. They got the same actor. It's crazy how they have all these references and deep cuts. But Lauren, you were teasing it earlier. Let's get into your news and gossip. What have you got for us today, man?
All right, so I have two pieces right here. I'm just looking at my notes off camera. So let's talk about ScreenRant.com has this article, Better Call Saul Theory, Mesa Verde is in Breaking Bad with a new name.
What name?
hear me out.
Okay.
So out of this entire, well, hear me out for one paragraph, because they said it all in this one paragraph. Assuming Kim is successful in the copyright infringement case, it's entirely possible Mesa Verde will be forced into a major rebranding. That could equal Mesa Credit Union from the pilot episode of Breaking Bad, when Walter White goes to his credit union to get money for the RV that Jesse buys.
Wow.
Whoa. So you think,
wow. It's so deep.
It is very, it is a deep cut. Thank you, Screen Rant, for that idea. That's amazing.
That's a deep cut. I mean, that's something that you would have had planned for seasons. Like, you would have had to have thought that idea seasons ago. Wow. Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah. If it's true. And then one other thing I just want to share is something cool. We all know Crazy 8. There's an actual actor behind Crazy 8. His name is Max Arriniega. He's a Chicago native, and he is going to launch his own school of acting on June 1st. It may start online from the Chicago Sun-Times. They talk about the Chicago native who grew up in theater, went to Columbia College Theater, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the actor that plays Nacho also has a theater background. Mm. I'm so trying to imagine what he would be like on stage, like in a Shakespearean play.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. I'm sorry to interrupt real quick. I totally forgot. We forgot to mention our girl, Gabby.
Oh, my God. We got to shout out Gabby.
Gabby.
Oh, my God. Sorry.
That's right.
Guys.
Remember the scene when we talked about a scene from the show when
Yeah,
okay.
No, Gabby. Guys, special shout out to our co-host who cannot be with us tonight, Gabby Castania, who is under the weather, feeling pretty sick. We don't know exactly what she's got right now, but we miss you, Gabby. Shout out to you. We're thinking of you. Sending love your way.
She has
been texting and just saying she's recovering, so, and definitely watching the show.
We're thinking about you, Gabby. We miss you, and we hope you can come on soon, but get better, please. Thank you, Sean. Yeah. Thank you so much for bringing that back.
Yeah, no, because between the three of us, we need someone way better looking than the three of us to help us out here. So, Gabby, we're missing you.
She's the MVP. And speaking of MVPs, we're going to talk about our favorite MVP from this episode right now. Kicking us off, Sean, who do you give MVP for this episode?
MVP for the episode.
For the episode. Oh, okay. If you're still thinking about it, for me it was.
I mean, I there's only one really. I guess it's Saul. I mean, the way he comes into that courtroom and just like crushes it, drops the mic, he's out. That's it. Yeah. So I got to give it to Saul.
For real, because I agree with you, but I'm actually gonna go with Mike because I think even though Saul had his most badass Saw moment maybe ever this episode, I think Mike really is saving a lot of people's lives. Like, I think he's saving Nacho, he's putting Lalo behind bars and without killing Lalo. Like, I think Mike was a low-key pretty strong MVP. Lauren, who you got?
No, he is. I'm just going to counter that essentially all Mike's doing, though, is delaying the inevitable.
Okay, but that's because of the knowledge we have.
Well, I'm just saying, this is the way the show goes. Like, Mike always tries to do it, like, low-key, tries to do it with no violence, and it never ends up. It never works out.
You know what? You're making some really good points. And, maybe I just didn't want to pick Saul.
All right, and I'm going to totally go way out, and I'm going to suggest the librarian, Lillian Simmons.
Oh, wait.
MVP, because we could see this sweet woman totally being played by Mike. It's happened to us before by friends and adults and other people in our lives. I'm just throwing it out there as a big what WTF. Lillian Simmons falling for it, but saying exactly what needed to be said.
You know what, though? I'm going to change mine. I'm going to go to Viola, the scribe, who saw, remember, he was right when he sits down, he's like, "How you doing, Viola? What's up?" Oh. And she's just like, "Good." Like, how does he know her name? All right, guys, final thoughts here. Let's get into our predictions for this week. AfterBuzz TV predictions. Lauren, I'm going to you first, man.
Oh, well, I already kind of gave you my thoughts about Kim, that she could be playing Saul, but we still don't know. We still have episodes to go through. You know what? I'm predicting with Kim that she's playing Saul. I guess I've already said it. That's where I'm going with.
All right, let's go Sean McHugh.
I kind of teased it earlier, but I think that, you know, Saul is going to have to come to Lalo's rescue whether he likes it or not. So that's happening.
So Saul, you think next week?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Because Lalo's in jail now. I mean, he needs a lawyer to come and get him.
I don't know if – I think they're going to approach him next week. I think it's the week after we actually get him representing him or trying to get him out because
okay. –
I know he said you're tied in, you're locked in, but I don't think that they've shown that yet. You know, they only threaten that, but you could be right. I'm predicting we get. I mean, I guess I just didn't ever realize the whole Nebraska connection. I got to predict that. You know, obviously he went to Nebraska for Kim, but I think that would ultimately mean that Kim left him to go to Nebraska. Mm. So I'm predicting that. By the end of the season, I think Kim leaves him and moves to Nebraska. Guys, what do you think? What do you predict? Please put it down in the comments down below. Again, please give us an iTunes rating. We're begging for an iTunes rating, 5 stars. Don't give us any less. We will shout you out on air. All the love to Gabby. Let's go to where can people find you, Lauren?
You can find me online on Instagram and at Lauren Kling and Twitter, LaurenKling.
And Sean McHugh.
I am at SeanStar75. There I am on the gram and then at Twitter at GorillaSuitSean.
GorillaSuitSean. And I love how you have your handle there. And don't think we forgot, guys. One of these days we're going to order Los Pollos and we're going to time it and we're going to see how fast it is. We just haven't really had a Los Pollos episode quite yet. So we haven't done that quite yet. But you can find me at Ryan Nilsen, RyNilsen, and at Ryan Nilsen _ on Instagram. Thank you so much for watching. And hey, be happy. talk to you next week and send all the love to Gabby.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.